Today we look at Psalm 82 and Psalm 83. And Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 82, verse 1, says, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. You say, wait a minute. I thought there was only one God. There is. That's just speaking of government officials. When a government official introduces a bill that he wants to be law, God reads that bill. And he knows if it promotes righteousness or not. When a president issues an executive order, God knows if it's good or bad. He stands, he judges among the gods, verse 1 says. And as I mentioned, gods here refers to government leaders, specifically civil judges. Civil judges would do well to judge righteously, because God will one day judge judges. He's keeping track. Verse 2, how long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked, Selah? God knows when a judge doesn't determine a case based on the evidence, but shows favoritism to one person or another for one reason or another. He sees that. And so he says in verse 3, defend the poor and fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and needy. It is wrong to show favoritism to the poor or those who have no influence. It's wrong to feel sorry for them in a court of law and show them favoritism. But it is also wrong to treat them like second-class humans and treat them unfairly. The civil court should be the one place where everyone is treated with fairness. 4. Deliver the poor and needy, rid them out of the hand of the wicked. Evil people will often take advantage of the weak, the poor, the needy. They're easy targets. It is the job of civil government to see that that doesn't happen. And if it does happen, that the perpetrators do not get away with it. Verse 5. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. When people do not stay close to God, they are in darkness. They're in spiritual darkness that leads to mental darkness. And that's when they begin to do foolish things, like calling wrong right and right wrong. And if enough people in a country are like that, well, then the country begins to fall apart. The answer to America's problems, many of them anyway, is not political, but spiritual. 6. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. Leaders on every level are given their authority by God, and that's why they are referred to as gods, little g. The one true God, our God, never misuses his authority. And all other leaders, people in authority, they should not misuse their authority either, because God has him there to rule righteously. 7. But ye shall die like men, and fall like one of the princes. They may be important in life, on this earth, for this period of time, because of their position, but they're going to die like everyone else. The grave plays no favorites. It's not impressed. The grave is not impressed. Death is not impressed with those whom the world calls important. It makes no distinction. It takes one as well as the other. 8. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. And so he is asking for the Messiah to come. Remember, this is written by a Jewish person. He's asking for the Messiah to come and reign. Well, the Messiah did come. And when Jesus returns, he will rule the entire earth. there's going to be nations, from what I see in the Bible, but they will submit to the kingship of Jesus Christ. Chapter 83, keep not thou silence, O God, hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. In other words, when we pray, Lord, don't just sit and listen. He wants God to answer by saying something. And really, that's all God has to do, is speak. Because when He speaks, it happens. Verse 2. For, lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. Those who hated God were doing evil, causing trouble, making life bad for others. People who do not respect God are the cause of many problems today as well. Life would be so smooth if it wasn't for people like that. Verse 3, they have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. You know, if sin is such a great thing, and if sin is so satisfying, why aren't impenitent sinners content? Why do they have to go deeper into sin? Why do they have to attack the godly? Why? But they always do. You know, when I am fellowshipping with Almighty God through Jesus Christ, I'm perfectly content. I shouldn't feel the need to hurt others, so why do they? It's because sin doesn't cut it. That's why. Verse 4. They have said, come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. Well, now that sounds familiar. That's as up-to-date as the front page headlines in today's newspapers. Who's saying, let's wipe out Israel today? Well, Egypt isn't saying it, but that's only because we're buying them off with millions and millions of dollars of aid. Otherwise, they'd be saying it. The president of Iran certainly has pledged to do it. And I suppose many of the other Arabs as well pledged to wipe Israel off the map. Well, you know what? If that's what their precious religion compels them to do, then their religion is worthless. It certainly isn't of God, because according to verse 2, it has made them God's enemy. If they're trying to wipe Israel off the map, they're God's enemies. I don't care what religion they're following. Verse 5, for they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. And then he goes on to name several nations down through verse 11. I won't read all of them, but let me just summarize verse 5. These people signed a treaty, a peace treaty, I suppose, to work together, to be confederate with one another in order to oppose God. And so, it's the Tower of Babel all over again. World unity of man apart from God. And the same thing is seen today in organizations like the European Union, which make no reference at all to the God of their fathers, the God that, and Christianity, that really brought the European nations into being. But there's no mention of them or of that God, the one true God, and the UN's the same way. These organizations seek unity apart from God. It's the Tower of Babel all over again. Maybe not so blatant in your face, but nevertheless, the same thing. Look at verse 12. Who said, let us take to ourselves the houses of God in possession? And so these nations were plotting to attack Israel, and they were also plotting to attack the temple of God. In other words, they were planning on robbing God. Now, that's not the smartest thing in the world. But that's what they were planning. And that's what happens today, even in America. When I was little, churches were not locked. People could go into churches any time of the day that they wanted to, at least in my hometown, and they could pray, or they could do whatever. But today, you try to get into a church, with a rare exception, they are locked. And they must be locked because there are those who have no fear of God and will consequently rob churches. It was about a year ago. People were stealing Catholic hosts and selling them on eBay. Even if you don't recognize the Catholic host as the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's still a brazen thing to do. And clearly there's no fear of God. And when I was little, they wouldn't think of robbing God's house of anything. Verse 13. Oh my God, make them like a wheel, like the stubble before the wind. He's asking God to blow his enemies out of the way, like a bramble bush is blown across the desert by the wind. 14. As the fire burneth the forest, and as the flame setteth the mountain on fire. The flame here in verse 14 refers to lightning. One bolt of lightning can turn an entire forest into ashes very quickly, especially if the wind is blowing in just the right way. And so he says this, and then he says in verse 15, so persecute them with thy tempest and make them afraid with thy storm. In other words, chase your enemy, God, like a forest fire chases dry wood. 16. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek thy name, O Lord. You see, this guy doesn't hate him. This fella doesn't hate the enemies of God. Sometimes a sinner doesn't recognize God until they are brought to shame and disgrace, and that's what he is praying for, and for that reason. 17. Let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish. He's praying for God's enemies to be miserable failures. And he isn't trying to be mean. It's not that he hates them. It's just that sometimes sinners repent only after they hit rock bottom. 18. That men may know that thou, whose name alone is the Lord, art the Most High over all the earth. God is the only God that there is. Talking about the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is in charge of the earth. The Christian God is God. Next time, Psalm 84. Until then, so long, everyone.